Corinthians chapter 6, kind of where we left off last week. We talked about tapping into God's resources, and we kind of get to the end of that. We said to tap into God's resources, there's a few things that we must also understand as we go through life. I guess I call them the reality of life, you know, on this. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6 on this. Here in chapter 6, we talk about Paul is talking about some trials. He actually lists 9 things there. He lists 9 different trials there. And then he also gives us, he talks about patience. Changing this around there, Jerry. He talks about patience was the first thing he listed in verse 4. And I'm going to read that in just a minute. But all things are proving on ourselves unto the ministers of God in much patience. He lists that first, and he lists 9 things after that. But then, after those verses, he lists 9 more things of how we can have that patience. Remember, he's teaching us. He's not only saying, okay, these things are going to happen. These are realities of life. But then, here's how to have that patience to help you get through those things. And then he turns around, and at the end of this, as we get down towards verse 10, he lists 9 more items. You know, 6 of those are really talking about the way the world looks at us. And then the other 3 are talking about some, and they're all attitudes. They're talking about some attitudes to help us understand where our position should be. So just in these 6-7 verses here, Paul has a lot of teaching in here. If we just spend a little bit of time at that, that would, I think, greatly would help us over it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 4, "But in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and distresses, and stripes, and imprisonments, and tumults, in labors, and watchings, and fastings." I'm going to stop right there. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this evening you've given us. We do pray for Scott as I see them driving out. Father, that you be with them and help them. And Father, just help them with his health issues. Father, be with the teaching this evening. That you bring me the words to speak. That you give me the direction that you would have me to go with this message. And just bless the activities that we have here and the activities that are going on in the other building with Pastor. And we thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked very quickly last week about what does patience mean. I read from Webster's. I'm just going to read those definitions real quickly again because it helps us understand what this is. So Webster's definition talks about patience is suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation or other evil, with calm, with unruffled temper, with endurance, without murmuring. A patient may spring Christian submission to the divine will. It brings us together on that. The second definition is a calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. The third definition is act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. And the fourth one is the quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. So the first thing that Paul lists here is patience. Then he goes through some of these afflictions or some of these challenges or some of these trials that he had, and he talks about these first. He just lists them out there. But he lists these 9 items, and if you look at these 9 as we go through them, you'll see the first 7 really involve someone inflicting something upon us or a trial that someone else brings upon us. The last 2 are something that we can do and that we do. So that's a difference there. You know, a successful Christian life, we've talked about this much over the last few weeks that I've been here on Wednesday nights. Christian life ministry, it's a life of faith. It's not only that, it's a life of labor. It's a life of heartaches, but it's also a life of stamina. You have to have that. You know, we remember, in everything we do, we need the Lord's help. And we must remember that. And to be successful, we must have the Lord's help. And as we go on, and if we turn over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, starting in verse 23, we'll just talk about what Paul said about himself. Says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save 1. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked, suffered shipwreck. In night and day I have been in the deep, in journeying oft, in pearls of water, pearls of robbers, and pearls of my own countrymen, and pearls by the heathen, and pearls in the city, and pearls in the wilderness, and pearls in the sea, and pearls among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without that which cometh upon me daily. Look at those last few words. The care of all the churches. That was his primary concern, was the care of all the churches. Let's turn back and just go through these in chapter 6 here, 2 Corinthians. You know, he talks about the patience, but then the first thing he says is afflictions. You know, afflictions is just really a general word. It's kind of like the catch-all of everything that he hasn't listed. The next few things that he listed here, the next 8 items. It's just kind of a catch-all of anything else that might have happened to him. So he talks about afflictions and necessity. We look at that and we say what he's talking about there is a want of food, the want of drink, you know, of clothing, being hungry, being thirsty, you know, being naked. And you talk about that over in chapter 11. You know, being in such straits and in such difficulties, they didn't know where to go. They didn't know which way to look. They didn't know what course to steer. They didn't know which way to turn themselves except to God. Except to God. And same thing in distresses. See, the difficulty positions that they took in, the third item there, the difficulties and positions that they took, you know, not knowing where they're to go. Not, you know, they were there with the different distresses around. Everything's just not going right. Everything's just not happening the way they thought it might. They're having difficulties. Again, not knowing what to do and which way to turn themselves except to God. So I think Paul's teaching us there that as we go through these things, there's God there that's standing there, as we talked about last week, tapping into his resources, but we have to turn to him. That's where we turn to. Not man, not another man's books, or another man's way of doing things, but looking to God first and seeing where he would have us and the direction he would have us go in. So when we look at this first three, afflictions, necessities, and we look at the distresses in the first verse there, in verse 4, we see that they end with, we have to look towards God in these things. We go on to verse 5, and there he says, in the stripes, we're talking about, you know, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was 5 times scourged by the Jews, which means 40 stripes save one. You know, so he had been whipped, he had been beat, he was in the second, the fifth item on the list here is imprisonments. He was, of course, we know he was in bonds. You know, I still bring up that day, you know, that our attitude should be just like what Paul was when he was beat. He was whipped, he was beat, he was put in the stocks, he was in prison. And at midnight, what was he doing? Praising God. Because he was where he was supposed to have been, and he was had done what he was supposed to have done. And he was content where he was. He was just praising God. He knew who he had to turn to. And tumults and uproars of the people. You know, we were talking about back then, there was all this commotion. The people didn't want him around there. You know, and their lives were frequently in danger as we would look around. The people drove him from place to place, chased him out of the places. That's what we're talking about there. How many times did Paul get pushed out of a town or chased out of a town? Or Peter, or any one of the disciples, or any one of the Christians got shoved around back in that. You just study historically and study the history of it. Christians were shoved out of the cities. I showed you that here was a few months ago. I gave you that family that was a Christian in Thailand where the family wouldn't turn to Buddhists. They were saved. They were telling people in the village about it. I put that picture in the mission briefs. And they packed up that family, brought a truck in, put the family on and some other people on that truck that said Christians in. Took them and dumped them outside a big city. Well, that's kind of what it was back then to Christians. That's what Paul's talking about here. And labors. It's a laborious ministry of the word. Taking care of the church. Doing things around there. It's laborious. And remember, Paul was a tent maker. He was always working with his hands to help meet the necessities on there. So that's what he's talking about there in labors. And watchings. You know, this when we look at this word here, and watchings, it's them working night and day, all through all 4 watches. So they're talking about there. These men work night and day. These men, either they were doing the ministry, they're out there preaching, they're out there giving out the gospel. You know, Paul would go to he'd go in the cities, he'd go to the temple first, and the temple was open during the day. They'd go in there in the different day periods, and he'd go in there and be teaching and trying to convince the Jews about the Lord Jesus Christ has already died, and they had to believe in him. And then later he'd be out in the houses, or he'd be out making tents and doing whatever was necessary. You know, I think of some things about today's work ethic. I was doing an internal control audit on a church down in Tennessee. They run maybe 1,800. And I virtually, in reality, had to slow down to about half a gear from my normal way I do things. And some of you know me. You know, I move pretty quick and always got something going on. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was like walking half speed. This whole staff, that's just how they operated, you know, on it. And then they gave me an office to do this work on. So I'm sitting in the office, and I don't know, it got about 5 o'clock, and I got up and couldn't find anyone. And they're all gone. They're just gone. I'm still working. I was like, okay, well, I guess if I go out the door, it's going to probably lock behind me, so I better take my stuff to go get something taken and go back to my motel room and work. But, you know, I've seen that as I work with churches and doing some of the stuff I do in consulting with churches. I've seen that a lot. Ministry has gotten to be an 8-to-5 job for a lot of people. They're hirelings. And when it's done with, they're gone. It's not ministry anymore. It's not where I'm from and where I grew up and some of the men I ran with, you know, Dr. Don Frazier and Carlos Demers and these guys, you know, they'd go from morning till night and then get up 3 hours later and they'd be going again, trying to get the gospel out on the mission field or down in Mexico and places like that. But I think of today's work ethics and when we talk about watchings. And then fastings. You know, some of these fastings, when he writes in fastings there in verse 5, it might have been voluntary, it might have been involuntary. It could have been both. He might have done, you know. But he's talking about in fastings and want of food. So we have these 9 items here of afflictions. What it shows us, and we've talked about this, that as we go through life, the reality is we're going to have things that show up in our life that we're going to depend upon God. We're going to have to look and tap into his resources. We're going to have that relationship with him to be able to get through those. But then Paul was talking about is that patience. And then he tells us in the next few verses, he tells us exactly how to have that patience that's necessary to get us through all these difficulties that come up in our lives. I don't know of any Christian or any person that's ever got saved and ever went into the ministry or just got saved, but let's just talk about one that started to do it, whether it was a Sunday school teacher or whether it's going in the mission field as a missionary, I don't know one that I know of that ever went through their whole life and their whole ministry without a challenge or an obstacle or a trial. Jordan, do you know one? Roger? Todd? Those of you who know missionaries? It's a reality of life. And I believe some of that God brings upon us for a reason. It's to get our attention back to him. Because I have seen people that all of a sudden everything's going nice. Now be honest with yourselves. You know, I'm not going to have you raise your hands. But everything's going good. Everything's going nice. Everything's working out well. And all of a sudden they're not doing what? Spending as much time in the Word of God. Or spending much time in prayer. Or communicating with God. So all of a sudden God has to come back and kind of just get your attention again to get you back on track. It happens to all of us. You know, it's just human nature that we have a tendency to do that. Now let's look at the next 6 here. He talks in verse 6, by pureness. I'm going to read the next couple of verses here. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We have 9 things there. The first one he talks about is by pureness. That's by grace. It's our pureness in our doctrine. It's our pureness in our conversation, our the way we conduct ourselves. It's the pureness in our body and our mind, our sincerity in our heart, and the integrity of our life. It's what 1 Peter's talking about, or Peter's talking about in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We are to maintain a personal holiness in our lives because we represent the very person of holiness. Did you get that? We are to maintain our personal holiness because in our lives because we represent the very person of holiness. That's what he's talking about here. Having a holy life will help you get through this and help you have that patience. And then the next thing he talks about here is by knowledge. Well, I've been talking about that a long time. Most of the problems that people have today, because they don't know this book. Most of the problems we got in the churches today, because they don't know this book. I'm not talking about just the people sitting in the pews. I'm talking about the pastors don't know this book anymore. They're not spending time in the Word of God. They don't know it. The knowledge of the Scriptures will give you and build that faith and that trust. As we talked about Joshua, you know, in just chapter 1. What did he talk about there? Strength and courage, strength and courage, strength and courage. And as things come up, what happens? You build your strength, you build your courage, you build your faith, you build your trust. That's what he's talking about, knowing the Word of God. You see this happening. You see what's happening. You can apply that in your life. You see the things that happen in your life, and you can build your trust, but you need to have that knowledge of the Word of God and spending time in it. Having that relationship with God. Then we have long-suffering. Really, just easily not provoked. Now, granted, I haven't found it yet in Scriptures, but I've been looking really hard to see if we can't eliminate, you know, when you're driving. I just can't find that, but with all these idiots out there, you know, driving around, sometimes I'll call them names, nice names. but that's what he's talking about. Bearing with patience every indignity and affront that you are incurred upon you. Just taking a step, just having that long suffering, that just bearing it, just taking it. And he talked about kindness. That's that gentleness, that sweetness of temper and manners, approachable, courteous. That's what he's talking about. Yeah, we talk about, there's a number of police officers I do work with. We talk a little bit about that. Of course, I haven't been stopped since, I don't know, 1980, but talking with them or around them, they call, you know, they say, "Yes, sir," "No, sir." And they're trying to keep their voice down. They're trying to keep everything calm. They're being very respectful for that person, you know, and doing everything they can. That's what we're talking about there as we're dealing with people. It's having that approachableness, that courteousness, that manners and everything else that we should portray. That's what Paul's talking about here. And then by the Holy Ghost. It's just, in Psalms 127, 1 says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. It is not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Holy Spirit has to be part of what we're doing in our lives. Has to be infused within our ministry, within our lives. As Paul saying, we need the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Nothing gets done without it. Otherwise, we're trying to do a lot of stuff on it by ourselves. And he talks, number 6 there, he talks about by love unfeigned. You know, it's not just by word only. You know, by love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. It's not by just speaking it and just talking about it, but it's by deed. How can we love others? Getting in the gospel. How can we love all these people in these other countries? Is making sure that we do everything possible that we can possibly do to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then we bring it down. It's just loving other people. Having that kind, that spirit about us of looking at their needs and just trying to find out one way, how can we serve them? That's what Paul's talking about in Galatians. By love, serve one another. You know, we talk about, you know, Matthew, Mark, both say basically the same thing. Love the God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's the first great commandment. The second is like unto this. What is it? Love thy neighbor. When we really look at that, they're talking about loving God and loving your neighbor. And that, to me, is making sure they have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't make them get saved, but we can love them enough to give them the gospel and make sure they have it. So we see six items here in just these next few verses talking about how we can adjust ourselves, you know, in pureness and knowledge and long-suffering and kindness by using, you know, by getting have that communication, that relationship with the Holy Spirit, and by loving others. That's how we can develop that patience that's necessary to go through any trial that comes before us. But, you know, one of the things also is in verse 7, he talks about by the word of truth. That's basically preaching the word, you know, preaching the gospel sincerely, not changing it. Comes from God. You know, every doctrine that we have in the word of God is truth. That's taking this word of God, he says, by the word of truth, is teaching this book, not changing it like so many want to do, not ignoring parts of it like so many want to do and do, you know, but taking this book and teaching the whole thing and putting out like Jordan does on a mission field, taking out there and teaching them all the doctrines in there, teaching them what's in this book, helping them understand what's in this book. That's what he's talking about. The word of truth is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, is preaching his gospel, is preaching this Bible, everything that's in it, all the doctrines that are in it, and teaching it by the word of truth. It's also by the power of God in verse 7. It says, in our lives, we'll see ministry, you know, if we have the power of God on our lives, we'll see our ministries grow. We'll see our everything that we do with the power of God in our lives, we'll see these things grow in our lives. We'll see our, you know, we'll see people get saved. We'll have effect. We'll it might be where we're working down there in our seed line room. We're putting together scriptures. But that's loving someone else, is taking the time out of your week, taking the time out of where you could be doing something else, is sitting down there and spending some hours putting some John and Romans together, and then we're boxing them up, then helping with the shipping cost to get them shipped somewhere so that someone like Jordan can take those things and hand them out to someone that's never maybe even had the Bible before, that they might be able to have the gospel and get saved. But when you have the power of God on your life for even doing that, we'll see souls saved. And then number 9 there, as he talked about to develop patience, is by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You know, the whole armor of God with which the Christian is clothed head to foot. We can read about that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. You know, when you look at the armor, the whole armor is there for what? Except for one piece. Protection. Except the sword. Everything is there for protection from Satan. You know, some say that this passage might talk about, you know, where the sword of the Spirit, they're talking about the sword of the Spirit's in the right hand and the shield of faith is in the left hand, so we have both offensive and defensive weapons. But whatever it is we have the armor of God. You know, when military people go into battle, they go in equipped properly for battle. When I flew my helicopters in combat, I had this piece of metal. Back then, we didn't have body armor like they got today. We just took a hunk of metal and we stuck that down inside our flight suit so that if they shot through the front of the bubble as we were coming into a landing zone or coming out, at least if it hit our chest, it would hit that first. Probably knock us out. that's what we would do. We had armor on there. Put as much as what we possibly could. That's what we're talking about, trying to protect us against the enemy. We have that. But so many Christians fear to go out there and even try to do anything for God, either try to even witness to God, yet they have everything they need. God's already said they'll be with you. He's going to be there. The Holy Spirit's waiting. Everything's ready. You have the armor that's already given to you. You have the sword. You have God behind you. That's what the Israelites finally realized when they came up to the Jordan the second time. They realized God is really there. We're ready to go. So those are nine things that can help us build our patience with God. Let me finish real quickly here. There's a couple more points. The thing about it is, in the world, in verse 8, it says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report or good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. By honor and dishonor. Hey, we got some people that speak bad about Christians, right? It's going to be there. It's always been there. But then we got some people that like us, respect us, help us. I got some lost people that's helped my ministry. I mean, hey, I need some money. Okay, how much you need? Write the check out. Lost. But they respect you. We got both. What Paul's talking about here is, hey, that's the situation we have. Don't worry about it. Don't let it take up all your time with these people talking bad about you because of what you're doing. Just ignore them. It's not worth the time, the mental energy it takes to get all upset about it. Because that's what's there. But you also have other people that do respect you. Not only saved people and other people in Christianity, but also there's lost people out there that do respect our stand. We have that. He talks about evil report, good report. Basically the same thing. Talk about, hey, some people talk about the way, you know, our doctor's all messed up. We don't know what we're talking about. And, you know, in creation, you know, we talk about Genesis. We believe in creation. And we got large groups that say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand the Bible and everything. You know, all of this is there. But then we have others. As we preach and teach the Word of God, understand that it is the Word of God. So again, Paul's talking about, hey, doesn't matter whether they like you or don't like you. Doesn't matter whether they don't like what you're talking about or they do like what you're talking about. Don't worry about it. That's what Paul's talking about. It says, as deceivers. You know, the unbelieving Jews. We had the unbelieving Jews and the false prophets back then. We had the, you know, with Ezekiel, we had the Baal worship. We had all of this. So he's talking about just, you got the deceivers, you got those that are trying to get people off on the wrong part, wrong direction, but we also got the truthful and faithful ministers. That's Paul's talking about. You got both. Don't worry about it. See, to have patience in everything that we do and going through our trials, we have to understand this is the way the world is. It's just the way it is. And as we understand this is the way it is, why worry about it? Why get all upset about it? Why spend any time on it? I've seen sometimes some pastors get all out of bent out of shape, and then for the next six blogs they're talking about some of this stuff, and I said, man, what a waste of time. What a literal waste of time on that. Unknown and yet well known. Hey, we may not be known to these people. World may not know who we are, and I could care less whether they do or don't. But you know, we're also not owned. We're not approved by them. We are slighted, despised, hated, and persecuted by them. But we are well known by God, by Jesus Christ. He knows that we're His. We're known by Him. He takes care of us. He has an intimate communication with us, a communion with us, and He openly acknowledges us. So the world doesn't know us, fine, I don't care. But God knows who I am. That's an attitude. That's an attitude that we ought to have. As dying, and behold, we live. You know, we're all born to die, right? Disease, cancer, just at some point in the time, we're going to die. every single one of us sitting here one day will die. Now, where we spend eternity is going to be the difference. But we can't get around that. We're going to die. But here's what it is. God preserves us through thousands of dangers as we go through our life and through all kinds of enemies to which we're exposed as we live that type of spiritual life. We live a life of grace in Christ and a life of faith with Him, because it's up to Him when we come home to Him. It's not up to us. Now, some of us may not do our bodies real well with some of the stuff that we do, but we may not take care of ourselves. You know, so we do sometimes pose some problems on our own selves. But basically what we're talking about is, hey, we're all going to die. This is what's going to happen. But God is the one that says yes or no. No one else does. And it goes on to chastise and not killed. You know, we can be chastised by men or we can be chastised by God. Of course, by God in a fatherly manner, but it's still, when it's our time, it's our time. But if it's not, and our work's not done, God's not taking us yet. That's what Paul's talking about here. Why are you worried about it? Why do you spend time on it? That's what Paul's talking about. Why? That's what he's really saying. What are you doing that for? You want patience? You got to get these attitudes right within your lives. Sorrowful and yet rejoicing. Hey, we might be sorrowful. We might lose a loved one. We might be sorrowful because maybe some sin in our life or one of our family members, maybe afflictions. You know, it could be a number of things we could be sorrowful for, but it's like Paul, always rejoicing. Not in ourselves, but in what the Lord has done for us. That's what Paul's talking about. Hey, we can be sorrowful, but we need to still be rejoicing. Yeah, I preached a message over another church about 2 months ago on true joy. And that's what we're talking about there. We talked about the whole thing about, hey, it's understanding what true joy really is. And that's having the right relationship with God. And always rejoicing in Him. As poor and yet making rich, generally speaking, a lot of preachers are poor in a sense. I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I think there's more than a few reasons that ministers are kept on that end where, so they're not all multimillionaires, or most of them are not. Because here's what it is. Wealthy people have a tendency to have faith in what? The world and their riches, not in God. When you have to ask and go to God and keep that relationship just to meet your basic necessities, that's what God's looking for, because He wants that relationship. And when you have everything's provided for you, you have this million sitting in the bank, you start depending, you're thinking of yourself. You lose that relationship with God, and that's what it is. And yet making many rich, we are rich though. We have mansions in heaven. We have life all eternity. You know, we're rich spiritually. We're also making other souls rich. You know, I got a friend of mine, he's quite wealthy, makes a lot of money. But yet he goes around and has a number of offices teaching other people to do the same thing. And a lot of them do become wealthy. I mean, quite a bit of money. Way more than average. But we do the same thing. We can go out there and teach the Word of God and give people the gospel and make them spiritually rich. So we can do the same thing. That's where we're at. That's what Paul's talking about. Having nothing yet possessing all things. Hey, apostles gave up everything. And went on the road. God provided. But it's like, we don't have nothing, but we got everything we need. An issue that we have in America today, and I'm basically at my ninth point here for that third section, is in America today, we do not know the difference between what's necessary, what our wants are, or what our desires are. That's what the difference is. And when we start pursuing all of our wants and desires, that's where we get into so much of those things that we can't give up to go serve God somewhere when He's calling us to go serve Him somewhere. We've accumulated too much that we have to give up. or we got ourselves so far in debt because now we have all these extra things that we really don't need, and we can't go to the foreign field. We can't serve God in some capacity, even at the local church. We can't leave our job and serve maybe at a church in some part-time position because the pay there would be half of what we were making where we were at because we couldn't pay for everything. It's because Satan has got men and women in this country, Christians in this country, seeking after their wants and their desires and not realizing that there's only some basic things we really need. And when we search for those things, we have everything. We're not missing anything. I mean, you think about the Israelites wandering on the field in the wilderness for 40 years. They had what? They always had clothes, right? They had shoes on their feet, and they always had food. Got cold, they had heat. That's what we call necessities. When we serve at that capacity, then we serve. So what did we learn? We see in this portion of Scripture, and you could take this home and study, is that we have 9 challenges, obstacles, afflictions, trials, whatever you might want to call it. It's just life. The reality of life. These things will happen. But then Paul says, look, you need patience to go through all of these things. Here's 9 things to help you overcome these things and learn how to get patience. That's that second group. And then he had 9 other additional points. 6 of them were talking about what the world thinks of us, but yet who cares? Because we got the other group, in a sense, likes us. Who cares? And then our 3 points of our attitudes about the whole thing on there. So just a short piece of Scripture, but there's a lot in it that we can learn and apply in our lives. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you now for these services this evening. Thank you for Jordan and his dedication and his willingness to go and serve in another country with him and his family. And Father, just bless him and provide for his needs, and Father, and provide for what he needs to get this new church started here. It's starting in October in that new location. Be with Pastor as he finishes out this week and his visitation and other activities and work that he needs to get done. Just be with him and bless there. Help each one of us as we leave now this evening. Some of us will be back out in the world having to work among lost people, that you would just help us there. And help us be a good testimony and witness there. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.